Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. I'm Jason Abrams, and this is the place where we lift the curtain on the world of real estate like never before. Every week, I sit down with visionaries, pirates, and mavericks. We're here to document, demonstrate, and most importantly, demystify their game-changing models and systems. What secrets propel them to the top? And how are they living their dreams? This is about passion, it's about strategy, but above all, it's about real, tangible success. So buckle up and let's dive in. This is the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. You know him. You love him. You've either heard his previous episode on this show, or you were one of the 3 million plus people to read his books. I am talking about none other than the incomparable Phil Jones. Phil Jones knows exactly what to say. He has made a life out of learning the words that move people into action faster with us than without us. We interviewed him in one of the early episodes of the MREA podcast. Go back and listen to that show. I caught up with Phil based on popular demand, and I asked him a series of questions. But this time, I did it in person, live, in front of a 3,000-person audience. Friends, you are about to hear Phil Jones live. Here we go. Phil Jones, we launched this podcast in October. And your episode is one of the crowd favorites. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I was a huge fan of yours before we've met, and we've become friends.
Yep.
And I'm really grateful for that. I want to go back to exactly what to say. Why did you write this book?
I think the evolution of this book has come through my body of work today, where I grew up delivering sales training skills to people who didn't see themselves as salespeople. And that meant if I could disguise sales skills in a way that was more palatable to people, that they would be a lot happier to absorb them. And I wrote a pantry of ingredients that would allow people to craft recipes for almost any scenario that they step into in life. And I wrote a book of principles around influence and persuasion and disguised it as magic words. And I woke up 7 days later to 120,000 downloads of it in Kindle.
Why?
I think it's the number one puzzle that exists inside of most professions is they can get the theory, they can get the motivation, they can be inspired, they can have their mindset right, and then they get to the moments that matter and they find themselves lost for words. Or they step away from the moments that matter and they think shoulda, woulda, coulda.
It's so interesting to me because in the first episode, you kind of laid out this idea that most people think of what to say the moment they need to say it.
That's right.
And preparing for the moments that happen repeatedly in your business and your life is kind of the first step. Why do so few people do that?
There's lots of reasons. One is experience. I'd say in the real estate community right now, the experience is costing people more than they're giving it credit for because they're pretty good at what they do, because they've been doing what they do for a while, because most of the scenarios they actually enjoy digging themselves out of holes and creating chaos to keep the job interesting.
Wow, that's a big idea. You're suggesting that we don't necessarily practice as hard as we can because we create an emergency that we then get to solve, which then creates a dopamine drip and we all get to live through solving a problem.
That's right.
That sounds awful.
And we laugh because there's truth in it, right? Because everybody here in this live recording is like, yeah, I've done that.
Wow.
And it's easier to struggle than it is to do the work to be ready to serve the moments. And you don't get to master this work, you choose to practice it.
Wow.
And I think that's a big thing as an idea that people should give consideration to is that you have to decide this is a practice. It's not something you do get to master. Just like yoga or meditation, you choose to practice because it's important. So you practice intentionality around language.
Talk to me about influence and persuasion.
Well, first, it's totally the difference between influence and manipulation. The difference between influence and manipulation is integrity. It's doing something that you're not doing to them, you're doing for them. That's a big difference. And when you think about a real estate professional in a listing environment, is if they're doing their job right, they shouldn't be winning the listing. They should be helping somebody make the right decision for them about their house, their next chapter, and how you're the right person aligned to be able to get them there. You're not trying to convince anybody into anything. You're trying to help them see for themselves that you're the right choice. And that takes a huge amount more work. That's influence. Influence is being able to go into a conversation and say, I don't know for certain how this is going to work out, but I know with me in it, it's going to work out better, clearer, quicker than it would do without me. And if I don't get the outcome that I'm looking for, I'm still influencing a decision towards what I believe to be the right decision for them.
The people that are in our lives that know how to use their words in a certain way, they don't make us hear something. They allow us to feel something.
That's right.
And you talk about that.
You cannot make anybody do anything. You can only invite somebody to see something from a different perspective so they'll then go on to be able to change their own mind. They see things differently. They feel things differently. Therefore, they act differently. You cannot force anybody into anything. You can help them feel an alternative feeling or see an alternative thought or imagine an alternative circumstance and then decide to run towards that. And that is leadership, which is so closely aligned to influence, is helping people see a version for themselves they hadn't yet seen themselves and then choosing to step towards it.
You find sales and leadership to be somewhat synonymous.
Yes, and parenting and friendship and life, universe and everything in between. And what we're looking for in life more often than not is clarity.
Everyone that a real estate agent is dealing with is probably moving because they're having some sort of life event. They get a job, they lose a job, they find love, they get divorced, they have a kid, they become an empty nester, they get rich, they get poor. And then all of a sudden, if we're lucky, because we have followed up, we're injected into this life event.
Right.
How do we show up into a life event and then become part of it as opposed to selling into it?
Well, I think you're talking about the ingredient of empathy, which is to care about what the people you care about. Now, that's a John Acuff quote, not mine, but I can't unhear it once heard it, right? It's to genuinely care about what the people you care about. And in a real estate transaction where you move from selling to helping, you have to understand their motivational factors. Now, motivation is a word that's massively overused. I see it show up in training courses. You just need to find a motivated seller or you need to understand their motivation. And I say to them, what does the word motivation mean? And so few people understand. Understanding the word motivation can unlock the secret to influence. And the word is created from the forcing together of two words. First word comes from the Latin word motivus. Modern day translation is the word motive. The Asian part of the word comes from the word we know as action. So motivation is created with motive and action. These are the two words. Push motive further and you can find another word for motive. A synonym for motive is reason. And if you're going to take action, it means you're going to move or you're going to do something. So all that is meant by the word motivation is to find a reason to move. And in the real estate business, it's quite literal. But if the reason was big enough, you could get just about anybody to do just about anything, providing you understand that the reason that matters most is their reason and not yours.
Wow, this is a big idea.
And there are only three reasons anybody will move to do anything. One is to run towards something. Two is to run away from something. And three is to light them up inside or make their heart sing. They're the only three reasons anybody will move to do anything. To become more comfortable, to run from discomfort, or to do something for self-centered reasons that matter to you, you and only you. The mistake that many people make when they're looking to influence other people is to only pull one of those levers. So what they'll do is they say, you should definitely move. You guys will have way more space. Inside voice says, yeah, that's right. They say, you should definitely move. You guys are crammed here. You've got no room to move. Little voice says, yeah, that's right. But you folks should move because with all the great hard work that you put into your life, that you've earned the ability to live a bigger, bolder, broader life than the one that you're currently living right now. Inside voice says, yeah, that's right. If you use one of those levers, chances are you're going to create a micro movement, not a committed movement, not a full decision. If you help people unlock that there's something worth running towards, there's something worth running away from, and it's going to be worth it when I get there, that's the secret to influence.
Dude, that's so good. That's so good.
I know.
That's so good. I'm thinking back now on so many of the conversations that you and I have had, and we've had you work with some of our MREA business owners. And in the initial conversations, frustrated isn't the right word, but you almost push them to the point of them being wildly uncomfortable. You keep asking these questions to get to the core of what their actual value is.
Right. I can't help unless I understand.
I was hoping you were going to say it just like that. Because so many of the frameworks in your books are around asking questions. And everyone, I think, it's a little cliche, ask your way to success. But dude, that's really what this is about. You can't understand unless you ask.
Right. And you can't advise or guide or be of any help unless you understand the problem or the opportunity.
In one of your books, you said the fuel for conversation is questions.
I said it's curiosity.
Explain it.
Well, how many times have you shown up into a conversation and delivered exceptional advice?
Every time I open my mouth.
For entirely the wrong problem.
Probably.
For entirely the wrong problem, right? The advice didn't stack up for the circumstance because the other person's inside voice is saying, well, that's not it. That's not, you don't see the world through my eyes. You're missing something. And we've done this as parents. I think anyone listening in as a parent is, we've all been guilty of jumping straight into advice monster mode. The goal for all of us is to understand somebody else's context before we insert our content.
Understand their context before we install our content. What do you mean by that?
Well, your advice is only valuable when contextualized. And if the advice doesn't have an application that the other person has decided is relevant, is your advice wasn't valuable. And I'll make this clear for a lot of real estate professionals, influencers, and entrepreneurs that are producing content right now. Is you share things like, I've been pouring so much value out into the world. You don't get to decide if it's valuable.
Ouch.
It's only valuable if the person on the other side of it says that that was valuable. And I believe that we miss so much opportunity by forgetting that people make decisions for their reasons and not yours. You put effort and energy and creativity and expertise and wisdom and past experience, all these things could be going into us there, but it isn't valuable unless somebody else finds it valuable. And that's about contextualizing it, right? Is I could give you an inflatable dinghy right now and you think I'm a lunatic.
Yes.
However, if you are struggling to be able to breathe and in a choppy ocean and the water is lapping up at you and you're realizing you should have spent more time learning to swim, there's a strong possibility you might appreciate that buoyancy aid at that point, and that would be highly valuable to you to a point that you might even consider parting with some cash for it.
Yes.
If you had the ability to do so, particularly if you were competing with somebody else for that same buoyancy aid. That's contextualizing value. It isn't what I give, it's what you get. I just delivered a training for some professionals here at the event that we're at for Family Reunion with some really amazing Keller Williams agents. And the presentation was titled To Help People Master Their Listing Presentation. And I spent 90 minutes with people sharing with them to not give a listing presentation.
Wow. How'd that go over?
Well, we'll find out with the feedback,
yeah,
right?
What was your point?
My point was to take enough time to understand that your true differentiator is your realization of that other person's unique set of circumstances. And I do think you can win business with a bucket full of charisma and giant energy, and sales is a transfer of enthusiasm. And the job is to get the other person as excited or more excited by the outcome than you are for themselves. Now, you can push somebody to that. You can curate that outcome by setting the metronome for the pace of the direction of the conversation. You can do that, and that will work with some of the people some of the time. It will also repel a good number of people. Let's look at it from a marketing point of view. I see this happen all the time. People will say things like, you know, I sent this email blast. It went out to 2,700 people and we got 32 inquiries and we got 17 appointments and we won 5 pieces of business. That email campaign was a huge success. I'm like, well, what about the thousands of people that now think less of you?
Wow.
Because what you shared with them is something that was highly unrelatable, that showed you're not listening, showed you're not empathetic, showed that you're not relatable, therefore you're not useful. Now, how many real estate agents right now are dripping on customers that didn't do business last year?
Plenty.
And what they're doing is they're dripping things on them that are now no longer what that person is looking to have help with. You cannot assume that what somebody told you once before in the past is still true today.
Okay.
So what somebody told you their needs, desires, hopes, ambitions were in their real estate goals in August of 2023, that when you showed them that, they didn't act on that, you should be pretty darn certain that they don't want what they said they wanted.
Wow.
So do the work to reinsert yourself in the conversation and get to a point that you understand what they may or might or could or potentially be looking for by alternative, and then shift your communication towards that.
I love that. But that implies that we're having the conversation. And
correct.
Here's what we know. We know that the number of real estate agents that are waking up and on a monthly basis or a quarterly basis calling in a TCPA-friendly and compliant way, everybody in their database is significantly less than we'd like it to be.
It's because they don't know what to say. And when they do say, show up and they make the calls, is they start phone calls justing all over people. And what do I mean by that is, like, I'm just checking in, I'm just circling back, I'm just trying to touch your base and other inappropriate things.
Did you say that's called justing all over
That's
people?
What I call it. It's just like, the words just are forcing permission. You didn't have permission to make the ask you're about to ask, so you create permission by justing. And we do it in our personal lives too. Like, you're running late to get out of the house and you're saying the other half, like, I'm just trying to send this one email, or I'm just looking to be able to, you know, get this thing tidied up from the kitchen, or I just need to grab my jacket.
Who have you been talking to about me?
See, these things are true because they're regularly true.
Okay, so instead of justing, what do I do? What do I say?
Well, you gain permission. And we write about it in exactly what to say for real estate with a simple structure called OFQ, which is opening fact question. If you're reconnecting with anybody about anything, could you create a play opening, a mutually agreeable fact, and an easy to answer question? Structure, method.
Explain it to me like I'm a cocker spaniel or a small child. Pretend I'm a real estate agent over here. Walk me through an example.
Well, give me a scenario and I'll prove how the structure helps.
Well, I got this data bank. It's full of all the people that know me and like me, and I care deeply
that
about them.
That might know is, you could like
which
you.
Which is why I've been ignoring them for the last 2 years.
Yeah, they love you so much. And,
right.
And so, just touch that for a second. Is there are lots of people you are calling your past clients that are not calling you their agent? But that's another thing.
Well, okay, I'm about to just all over you. Let's come back to that. I'm going to put a pin in that one. So I got people that I haven't been purposeful about contacting
yep.
that I need to contact.
Okay. And this is a telephone outreach?
It's telephone outreach in a TCPA-friendly compliant way, and it's been a year.
It's been a year. And what happened prior that meant they found themselves in your database? What was the known piece of evidence?
We did business a year ago. I sold them a house.
You sold them a house a year ago. And what do you want to happen as a result of your just checking in conversation?
We just lost touch.
Okay.
And I'd like to get repeat and referral business.
Okay. So you're going to use the truth. You're going to pick up the phone and you're going to say, hi, it's Jason. I would suggest you all use your own names.
It's fair.
And then I'm going to insert a mutually agreeable fact or a series of mutually agreeable facts. This is what's going to earn me my...
What's a mutually agreeable fact?
It's something that you know is true and that they know is true too. Something that cannot be doubted. So I'm going to use the fact that, you know, 13 months ago, we worked together to be able to help you buy the home at 123 Main Street.
Yes.
A lot's happened since.
Yes.
And there's been plenty of changes, both locally and nationally, in the real estate market.
Yes.
Right? Mutually agreeable facts.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing we can argue. And the inside voice is like, well, that's reasonable. That's reasonable. That's reasonable. This is me earning permission. Then I'm going to put an easy to answer question. This is the part of OFQ that so many people struggle with because they put a hard to answer question. Like, a hard to answer question is like, how are things with you? That is a ridiculously hard question to answer, which is why every time that somebody asks you, how are you? You lie.
I'm great.
Right? We don't tell the truth when somebody asks.
Best day ever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we put a big question or, you know, I was checking in to see if there's anything I do to help you. Like, we walk ourselves straight into a cul-de-sac and get to a fast no. What we're looking for with an easy to answer question is something they can respond to effortlessly that buys us the next 30 seconds. easy to answer question in this scenario might be, are you folks still living in the house?
Yes. The opening fact questions sounds really simple, but it's hard unless you practice them.
That's right. That's right. And I think in your profession, you can think of at least 100 conversations you open on repeat, on repeat, on repeat. And when you can think about the 100 conversations you open on repeat, you should be able to create 3, 5, 7 different polite openings, mutually agreeable facts, easy to answer questions, and then build yourself a bigger pantry that you would then step into live environments and not need to have to know your lines.
I'm thinking about a lot of the conversations I have, and a lot of them start with, hey, you got a second?
That's right.
Is that the worst or the best?
No. It's not either of those two things. When you start a phone call with the words, do you have a moment to talk? There was a period of time that was a great way to start a phone call, and that period of time ended about 1996. And it was when we started to get caller ID and had some visibility on who it was that was calling, and we had some jurisdiction over whether this call was necessary or not.
Oh my gosh, you're suggesting that if they know I'm calling and they answer, then I should just assume they have a moment to talk.
Well, what would you do if I was calling your phone and it wasn't a good time? Would you pick up?
If it's always a good time for you.
I don't believe you.
No, yeah.
Because if you're busy doing the thing you're doing, right, your phone rings right now and it causes you a distraction. If you looked at your phone and was like, I'm in the middle of this, you just ignore it, move it to silent, etc. So if you start a phone call with the words, is now a good time to talk in today's age, what you're actually doing is you're adding a sense of importance to this conversation that is making the other person potentially feel anxious.
Okay, so I have this framework. I get somebody on the phone, they've looked at it, they decided to answer.
Okay.
I start with some mutually agreed questions and understandings. Where do I go next?
Well, what you're then gonna look to be able to do is to take some form of past, present, future arc. And this is easy because you've got the mutually agreeable fact. The past thing is a version of what's happened since. That's the thing you're going to question about, is to take me from the last moment we were connected up until right now. Now, if I said to you that we did business together a few months ago or a few years ago and that times have now changed, a lot's moved in the market, are you folks still living in the house? You say, yeah, we're still living here. You say, well, what's changed? Bring me up to speed on everything that's happened with you guys since. Let them go.
So I find it interesting because I've asked a bunch of script masters, what do I do on this call? And a lot of them say, well, you start by apologizing. I'm really sorry that I haven't checked in sooner. I should have checked in with you before. You're not taking that tact at all.
Well, you're forcing reciprocity where it's fake.
What's reciprocity mean?
Reciprocity means that we are creating some quid pro quo between us, that because I didn't do what I said I was going to do, if I say sorry, then now we're back to even. But you're not actually that sorry, and they know you're not actually that sorry. It's not true.
Wow.
So what we're doing is we're dancing around this whole thing, and everybody's placating the conversation. They are and you are. And we're going to dance in this for another 96 seconds, and then we're going to agree that you can check in again at some point in the future, and then you're going to be back on the drip.
Yet it's low value.
On everybody's behalf. So we're all polite. And sure, you can show up and apologize, but do you really have anything to apologize for? You had no contractual or moral obligation to create multiple touch points between you finishing the promise that you completed upon and this moment in time. I don't believe there's necessarily something to apologize for. What's worse to apologize for is you keep calling people delivering no value.
Wow.
Interrupting somebody's day to garner no information and... is thinking about this in a high stakes environment is if you were dealing with a tragedy in your life and you were struggling with the challenges that came as a result of that tragedy, people come and say things to you during that time period. They say things like, if there's anything I can do to help, please don't hesitate to ask.
I say that.
It's not very helpful.
Phil.
Just be helpful. Either show compassion or be helpful. Don't offer to the person to explain to you what help looks like, because they're dealing with enough.
That's a big idea.
Mm-hmm.
What if you just don't know how to be helpful in that case?
Well, then just be compassionate. Then I have no idea what you're dealing with right now. My thoughts and prayers are with you. Done.
That's good.
Instead of if there's anything we can do to help, oh, now we've just shifted the obligation back and it's... the other person's expected to say, here's what help looks like.
I love where you're headed. And let's keep going there, because it feels like we're departing business and we're just going into humanity.
Right.
And all of us are having conversations in our business lives and in our personal lives.
That's right.
And in both of those environments, there are difficult conversations that have to be had, and then there are daily conversations that have to be had. Let's start with difficult.
Okay.
What's the framework for sharing difficult news with somebody?
Before sharing the framework, understand that your job is that if a moment does not exist in conversation, don't try and force it into an alternative moment, create a moment. So if there's something you need to speak to somebody about and it isn't showing up naturally, that you're going to be stood eyeball to eyeball, sat across a table in a period of time where you can talk about it, don't try and force it into a corridor conversation or try to sneak attack somebody with the information you need to share with them. You might be as well to say things like, when would be a good time for us to sit down and talk about it, something properly that I could, you know, appreciate some of your focus on. So when would be a good time would be a really solid preface to give them the permission. And when would be a good time for us to talk about blank properly? Because now what you're doing is you're inviting the other person to tell you a space that they would be happy to accept a conversation that has a bigger container for it. Now, this is as simple as you've got some bad news to share with an employee in your team is, you know, when would it be a good time for us to sit down and talk about all that's been happening with your performance? You don't have to just sneak attack him and say, we need to grab a minute right now because your results suck.
Which happens all the time.
Correct. When would it be a good time for us to sit down and talk about everything that's been happening with your performance? Is they've now got some permission to align their own thinking, their own head, et cetera, to show up to that conversation in the right frame of mind.
You have a giant org chart. Okay. Like, it's huge. I know this. And you've gotten to be lucky to promote people.
Yeah.
And you've also had to let people go.
Yep.
And everyone listening to this podcast is kind of in the same boat.
Right.
So let's talk about the difficult conversation.
Right.
When you need to get out of business or out of relationship with somebody.
Yep.
Is there a framework that you use? Are there words that we can say?
You could use a framework that is past, present, future.
How would that work?
It's funny how much this stuff repeats, right? So what am I going to do is I'm going to get permission with a when would be a good time. It's not that different to an OFQ. And what I've now got is them sat in a conversation. So I'm going to then use another fact that might be, well, you know, we started this journey back in 2022 because, and you said that what you'd be able to do was to bring this and this and this and this and this. And what we said that we'd bring was this and this and this. And we both had aspirations about this being in a very different situation than the one we're in right now. You see how that's fact, 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 fact?
Yes.
Is there anything there that I've said that you disagree with?
No.
There's a question. Easy to answer. Nothing. So what I'm then going to say is, so what's changed for you since we started in 2022 and now? Invite you. So where are we at? So now what?
This is more of a dialogue than a monologue. And I think when people get out of relationship, they tend to monologue through the entire thing.
And we have this mic drop. I told them. And the thing is, they leave the conversation not at peace. They're not whole with their side of the argument. So that animosity lives in them. And okay, great. You fired somebody today. Now that person is loaded, running out into the world, sharing whatever version of truth they do about you. And whether you like it or not, whether it's true or not, that there is collateral damage to the reputation that is caused by what leaves their mouth. So take the time to be able to allow it to have enough airtime in line with the size of the change you're asking them to make. Like if somebody worked with you for 2 weeks in a part-time role in a temporary position and you said, you know, 2 weeks ago, we set out with a journey of you being able to provide some additional support to us to be able to help with blank, blank, and blank, and that you've managed to be able to do this, this, and this, but you haven't managed to be able to show up for this, this, and this. Is there anything about that that I've shared that isn't true? And they say, no, no, that's all true. You say, well, what's changed for you since when you said that you wanted to be able to strive for more with us 2 weeks ago and where you're at today? They say, I don't know. I'm not sure whether, and they start adjusting all over you, right? And then what you do is you say, so where does this leave us?
I tell you what's changed for you and where does this leave us are two very powerful questions in that framework.
Right. And then you can say, so where do we go from here? And they say, well, what are my options? And I say, well, the way I see it is you have three options.
Yeah.
And all I'm doing is using the work in the book. I'm just playing the notes.
All right, well, so let's flip it. Let's say, because I know we have people that listen to this that work for someone else. How do I go in and ask for a raise?
Okay. Well, if you're looking to ask for a raise, you need an opening fact question.
I'm not going to get away from opening fact question.
It's the easiest way to start a conversation with permission to create a container for the bigger conversation you want to have. So think about your polite opening. Is if I'm coming to Jason for a raise, I'm going to say, hey, Jason, I've really enjoyed working with you so far, right? There's an opening. The mutually agreeable facts are that, you know, I know that what you're committed to being able to achieve is blank and blank and blank and blank. And I know that some of the challenges we're having in the organization is blank and blank and blank and blank. And I think through our conversations is that you believe that I have some skills to be able to help with blank and blank and blank and blank. Like, these are mutually agreeable facts. You're like, yep, that's right, that's right, that's right. I'd say if I could help influence some of those things, would that be something that's of value to you?
Yes. Yeah. This mutually agreeable fact, it really changes the framing.
Correct. Now you've said yes. I'm going to then use past, present, future. I'm going to say, well, what have you enjoyed about the value you've had for me working for you so far? And you're going to go, ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. I'm going to say, so where are we at right now? Is this where we're at right now? Or do you see room for growth for the future? So I see huge amounts of growth for the future. I say, if I'm going to do more for you in the organization, do you think it's going to be fair that you pay me the same, less, or do you think it's an opportunity to pay me more?
It's pretty good. But what's so interesting is I put you as someone who had to fire somebody, and you asked a ton of questions. And then I put you as somebody who's asking a raise, and you asked a ton of questions. In both times, you seized complete control of the conversation all through questions.
Correct. We live in a world where people are like, ready, fire, aim. And I don't get it. Why would you not take a moment to ready yourself and then choose where you're aiming and only then pull the trigger?
So how does that show up in your personal life? Because a friend of mine is a coach, a real estate coach, works for an amazing organization called MAPS, and literally wakes up every day and helps people live the biggest life they can.
Great.
It's fantastic. And I said, well, how does that work at home with your spouse? And he said, well, she always says, don't coach me.
Right.
Don't use your coaching Jedi mind tricks on me. Does your significant other recognize these patterns and say, Phil?
Yeah.
Stop doing the
thing. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think we have to accept that there are multiple versions of ourself. And sometimes you don't get to use your strengths that you have in the commercial world and then bring those same strengths back home. And sometimes in a home life, for sure, they definitely don't want you to be that. They actually are not appreciating that value in that given moment in time. What I've learned to be true about me in my life is Phil Jones is just dad and husband and actually quite introverted, doesn't necessarily love to be life and soul of the party, quite enjoys own company and is very happy to allow and observe things that happen around him. But the middle initial that shows up in my world is actually me stepping into character and stepping into a role.
When you add the M, that's when...
Yeah.
So Phil M. Jones is different than Phil Jones.
In a number of ways. It gives me permission to show up differently.
Wow.
And I think otherwise is you can get exhausted.
Did you see the movie Over the Top?
Yes.
When he turns the hat around and he becomes the arm wrestling? That's
alter ego, yeah.
So good.
And I think building versions of yourself that can serve moments in certain environments can help you grow strength in something you've been telling yourself, something that you're not great at. And in scenarios like this, it's fun to always have the question for every answer, right? Like, it's fun. That isn't much fun in a home life environment in the same way.
Certainly not for the other person.
I tell you, though, where it's become remarkably interesting is my youngest daughters are 5-year-old twins.
You have 5-year-old twin daughters?
Yes. Well, 5 next month.
No wonder you have to work so hard. That's so good.
The challenge they have, they're identical twins. They live an identical life. And watching them debate and squabble and try and rationalize with things has never been a better case study of slow the process down, speed the outcome up. There's never been a greater example of reassurance that the work that I teach is necessary than helping two infants work around a squabble as to who should have what and when there is no upper hand through who's oldest, who's more right, who's more precious, etc. They are like the exact same DNA version of each other, and helping navigate those situations and see the bigger picture has been a big test for slowing down, strategically being more curious, helping them see things from other people's points of view so they can not win arguments between who's right and who's wrong, which is how we often solve disputes, right?
Sure.
But actually realize that that wasn't the argument to be having at all. And can we create a bigger version of right that is inclusive for everybody? That has been a good test in personal life.
Well, talk me through that, because real estate agents, believe it or not, we work a lot.
Yes.
We're 24/7. There's a whirlwind that is our industry. And in some cases, I would tell you every real estate agent is in a family business.
Right.
All of us. I know this because my kid just knocked my open house signs into my Mercedes. And now as a family, we're fixing the car. It's really wonderful for me. We're all in. We're taking calls with the kids in the car.
Yep.
Where it's this full force. You travel a ton.
Yep.
How do you find I don't like the word balance when it comes to our lives.
Right.
But how do you find, what are your tricks to showing up at home and still being in Vegas with us for a full week? Like, how are you doing this?
An early part of advice that I got from an early mentor was that when you're in the room, be in the room. So it's very, very clear to my entire family unit that when I'm here, this is my priority, but this is my priority because they are my priority. So that, you know, that is a known thing. And I've said and communicated back even to my team at home, i.e. my family, is if I can't do this with the wind at my back, if I can't feel the wind at my back, it's kryptonite. So actually, like, I don't want to be here if it doesn't have wind at back. So if there is ever a scenario that I don't feel that, it turns the work into something I would just rather not do.
Wow.
And that's become, you know, a nice frame of understanding that says either we're all doing it or we're not doing it. And, you know, I learned a cool piece of advice from somebody just last year. And like, we're giving, you know, the kids and my wife credits and equity in the successes we get from the road. So if I'm traveling to go away to go do blank and its fees are blank, a percentage of those fees are already pre-agreed to be able to support somebody else's blank.
Wow. A percentage of your kids are winning when you go out and teach?
Yeah. And it relates back towards something else.
And they're just buying Fortnite skins and spending all the money. It's just...
Yeah.
Wow.
So it works that way around. And it creates a decision again, right? Does dad go do that thing? Well, the inside voice from everybody is, what's in it for me?
Dude, your kids are going to start... Dad, you better get out on the road. You're going to come home, they're going to say, what are you doing here?
Well, then it's come back to that when you're in the room, be in the room thing again, right? Is you also want that to be that they understand the decisions of when they might not want that to happen. Because, okay, so great, dad can go and do that gig that can generate that money that could then prove that for you, but he's not home for your birthday. He's not making dinner. We're not going to go take a hike over the weekend together. We're not doing any of those things. So you learn compromise, and we train ourselves to believe that we can have it all and then quickly realize that that wasn't true.
It's so good. I think when you don't consider what's important to you in life, then you end up surfing the wave of life.
Yep.
And wherever that wave goes, you're on it.
Right.
It's only when you decide what's really important that you decide which waves you're going to take.
Yep.
And I think about my own life. I was only home 50 days a year for the first like 6 years of my kid's life.
Right.
And at the time, it made all the sense in the world. But I look back now, I can't remember what he smelled like when he was a baby, which I know sounds silly, probably. But I just wasn't there enough to get it. Mm-hmm. And now he doesn't smell very good.
I think there's a part in it, though, that we can all control that's even more than this, though, is the easier part to influence is not necessarily, are you there or are you there? It's what are you doing when you're in those places? And even let's use this week while I'm here as Vegas, if we're using that as a metaphor, is I'm working my socks off this week and I'm enjoying it. Because if I am going to take that time away, we're going to make it count. We're going to produce a ton of stuff. We're going to influence and impact a ton of people. And we're going to show up and do the work. I'm not here to play slot machines or to go try the restaurant scene.
We had an agent in Gary's mastermind, and she was a killer, and she had sold a ton of real estate, and her husband passed away, and daughter was 7 years old. And she stood up at the mastermind. This was at the beginning of 21. And she was explaining the story. And the daughter ended up with a therapist. And the therapist said to her and her mother, he said, you guys need to have a ritual that you put into place to keep her father's memory alive. And he said, and there's two types of rituals. You're going to have casual and you're going to have formal. And casual, and by the way, this comes up in every conversation.
Yeah.
There's a million ways to casually communicate. You'll walk past a bakery, there'll be a smell that reminds her of her dad, and you'll have a moment. Or dad's favorite show will come on TV, and you'll have a moment. This is all casual. Formal is, we're going to do this thing on this day every month or every week. And they chose going to the cemetery, and they were each going to bring something with them that reminded them of her husband and her father. And that was going to be the ritual. They were going to go once a month. So for the first like 6 or 7 months, it was no problem. Anyway, in the 8th month, it was the mother who couldn't figure out what to bring that day. And she said, she confided in her daughter, she said, I'm really having a difficult time. I don't know what to bring. And the daughter looked at her and said, well, you should bring your cell phone. Just leave a phone on the grave. And the mom said, why would I do that? She said, well, because every time you and dad were together, you were on it. And I got to tell you, Phil, there wasn't a dry eye in that mastermind, because I think people had this moment. Gary told me that if you ask people, how do you want to be remembered when you're gone? People wax poetically about it. But then ask them a different question, which is, tell me how you showed up for the world yesterday. And in that moment, you have this realization. It won't be what you wanted to be remembered for it.
Right.
It will be how you showed up yesterday and how you show up the next day. You will be remembered for how you showed up, not how you wanted to show up.
Right.
And I think that's what you're saying.
Yep. And I think if you're looking to take, for example, even the work inside exactly what to say, and you're looking to understand how to practice it at deeper levels with your clients, with your teammates, with your family, also understand that these are tools that you can utilize to talk differently to yourself. And you can take every sequence of words in that book and you can write yourself better questions. And you can go searching for better answers as a result of those better questions and help yourself find moments of clarity and realization about unlocking more of your superpowers. And until you internalize those skills to a point that you've utilized them in your self-talk, they'll never show up in mastery in your outer wider world, because the person you converse with the most is here. It's in you.
I love that. If anyone has a question for Phil that you just want to shout out, just yell.
Can we go back to the pin with they are your past client, but you are not their realtor?
Oh, yeah. What did you mean by that?
Is you have this database of my clients, my past clients, my sphere, my circle, whatever you're choosing to apply your version of my around. And if I was to stop that person in the street and say, who's your real estate agent? They wouldn't be able to respond on reflex. And they wouldn't have a appreciating value story to be able to share about why that was true. You were a transaction broker at some point in time in their life. And I'm on a mission within the real estate industry to try and create a rally cry that says, please, please, pretty please, do not pay for leads in 2025 that you could have earned today. And you are all doing it. You're letting the people that you've already built relationships and trust with continue to do Merlot-induced Zillow porn. And I'm going to coin that phrase too, and keep presenting themselves as leads to other people. And like, the side door and the back door is wide open because they don't understand or appreciate how much value you can provide to them long term. And what I'm saying is, do the work to be able to ring fence those individuals so they understand your value. Keep showing up in their world and deliver appreciating value. And appreciating value isn't value that you decide is valuable. It's value that they appreciated. And that isn't checking in, touching base, and sending gifts. Because I think sometimes when we show up and we just drop gifts on people, what we're really showing them is that they made us a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's not saying don't do these things. I'm saying don't just do these things. And the most important thing that you can do to show value to the people in your database is understand what's happening in their life. learn what they might be thinking about possibly potentially doing next. And catch what I've just said there too, is we show up into conversations trying to ask people to tell us what they have going on in their life and they don't even know. If you want to be valuable, create a space that allows them to tell you their messy truths. So it's not like any plans to move in the coming future, or it's, you know, what are you folks thinking about potentially maybe doing longer term? You see the curiosity in that kind of question? Allows them to say, well, we're not sure yet. I mean, we might stay here long term, but you know, Jimmy's doing so well with his soccer, and that means that we've got this big commute on Saturdays, and we're toying with the idea of if he's going to stick with soccer, we might move to something closer there. But we love the home, we love the neighborhood, and we love the school, but we're not sure about. And all of this comes out. And if that level of emotional intelligence is not in your CRM, you're at risk of losing to a computer.
Wow. That's good.
I know.
Yeah. You know, we audit the note sections in command all the time to just see what we can learn. And the super majority of them tell me bedrooms and bathrooms and square footage. And it's all really important content. It's so rare that we see like their kids' names or their dog's names or what's their favorite color or what their dreams are.
Yeah, but we don't even want their dreams. We want all their maybes. That's what you really want. You want the messy gray part of what's going on, because if I spoke to somebody today that gave me that response, I've now got a reason to be able to show up in their inbox again, whether it's with, you know, I know that you said you're only thinking about potentially moving out to that area nearer the soccer thing, but this just came on. And you can reverse this Zillow pawning thing, right? You can start to flirt ideas, but not only that, is you're not checking in about their real estate needs, you're checking in about their life because you knew something about their life that was messy and complex that said there was worthy of a check-in. Now your facts are, 3 months ago, I know you were undecided about what you might want to do for the future. That's your opening fact question, right? And that you were giving some consideration to what you may potentially do, and it was all dependent upon what Jimmy does for soccer. These are mutually agreeable facts. The easy to answer question is, you know, is Jimmy still doing soccer or has something changed?
So good. Friends, that's Phil Jones.
Thank you.
You know, there's a simple truth to everything that Phil is saying. And sure, we had a blast doing it in person. And sure, there were bright lights and a full audience. And sure, we went back and forth with quips and chuckles. But when you take all that aside, the words that we use are under it all. We've chosen an industry where knowing how to consult people at the highest fiduciary level literally separates everybody that's at the top from everybody else. And the only way to do that is to have practice and then mastery of the words that we use, the conversation frameworks, a pantry of words such that you can bake any dish. Friends, true professionals practice like they play. All moving forward in life is based on your ability to communicate it. You have to commit to this. And you know, I know what you're thinking. Jason, I talk to people daily. Well, here's the thing, friends. Talking to people daily isn't practicing communicating. It's talking to people daily. When you hear a practitioner of the art of speaking like Phil Jones, you are very clear on that. The worst time to think of what to say is the moment you need to say it. Focus on the conversations you have regularly and become a master at them, and life will move faster. Go forth and do likewise. There it is. That wraps another episode. Friends, I don't know what you're taking out of this. I really don't. I'll tell you what I want you to be taking out of it, which is these are the people that are having tremendously big lives. And the reason it's happening is because they're setting up the models and systems to do just that. Gary Keller told me that leadership is teaching people how to think so that they do the things they need to do when they need to do them, so that ultimately they get the things they want when they want to have them. And that's what I want for you. You're all leaders, but it begins with leading ourselves. If you're enjoying this podcast, I want you to click the subscribe button anywhere that you get your podcasts. We want to be the voice in your head every single week. And every week, we're dropping new content. We also send out a newsletter at the conclusion of every show to make sure that you get the highest points and the models and systems that were discussed. So if you want to sign up, I need your name and your email address. Head over to the MillionaireAgentPodcast.com. MillionaireAgentPodcast.com. Enter your name and your email address, and every week that newsletter will be in your box. Friends, you just went on a journey. I hope that what happens between now and the next time we meet is absolutely wonderful for you. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information. Warning. You must comply with the TCPA and any other federal, state, or local laws, including for B2B calls and texts. Never call or text a number on any Do Not Call list, and do not use an auto dialer or artificial voice or pre-recorded messages without proper consent. Contact your attorney to ensure your compliance.